We're going to end now with some analysis about how authoritarian governments begin. And we're going to talk about something that's happening a little bit closer to home. Because we often think of dictatorships as seizing power against popular will. But of course, reality is much more complicated. Authoritarianism often starts with everyday people and with their values. That's what Amanda Taub found when she began reporting on the topic. She's a former human rights lawyer who is now a correspondent for the New York Times. Back when Donald Trump started to become the GOP frontrunner, Taub wrote an article for Vox.com called The Rise of American Authoritarianism. And she joins me now from Washington, D.C. to talk about it. Welcome to Latino USA, Amanda.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
So, Amanda, how did you come to write about this particular subject of rising authoritarianism in the United States? I mean, how did it specifically come to you that you wanted to write about this?
So I really came to the subject of rising authoritarianism in the United States and the West from the perspective of, you know, why all of a sudden does this country where I live look like these other countries that I've reported on and worked in? What's going on? Us versus them politics, you know, rising xenophobia, that kind of thing. I had just seen that so many times when I had worked on or written about crises elsewhere. To look at authoritarianism, it's not enough to just look at what governments do. You need to look at what's going on within the public and why there might be rising support among the public for what we think of as authoritarian policies, especially policies that single out groups and scapegoat them, whether they're immigrants or other minorities, and say, you know, we need to really kind of beef up our strength against these outside enemies or these outside threats.
So in your article, you basically write about how you can identify whether or not a government is authoritarian. And you say that it basically depends on four essential questions, right?
It's four questions, and they're not questions about politics. They're actually questions about parenting, what the goals of parenting should be. They're questions like, which is more important for a child to be, obedient or self-reliant? What this question is really asking, and the three other questions like it are really asking, is it more important to preserve hierarchy, rules, and order, or to encourage independence and accept difference and kind of be flexible about new things?
So here's a little reveal, of course, that, you know, being a mom, I was like, well, you know, obedience is pretty important. And then I was like, oh, no, this is terrible. But here's the thing, Amanda. I think that maybe this is one of the keys that is going to help us to understand the question that I get a lot, which is, for example, how is it possible that Latinos or Latinas voted for Donald Trump? And how did this happen? Does your research and reporting and understanding of authoritarianism, does that help us explain then that question of what happened in the United States of America?
It does. What this research shows, and what I found really telling, is that people have these tendencies within their personalities, and it's not, you know, you're necessarily one or the other. It's a spectrum. You can be more or less authoritarian. As you point out, I suspect people maybe become slightly more authoritarian once they have children and understand that obedience really has its benefits.
Yikes.
I have a toddler. Obedience seems pretty good right now. It's not really part of my life. But what really activates authoritarianism as a political matter is major social change. So that could be demographic change, a country going from being, for instance, predominantly white to less white. It could be social change, the hierarchy of society or the norms of public behavior. And we've just been seeing a lot of that happening in the West. The United States has gone through a real demographic change and is continuing to do so. You know, in the next few decades, many parts of the country will be majority minority. We've also, you know, got the continuing changes of civil rights and anti-racism happening, same with women's rights. Those kind of changes kind of prime the pump. They put authoritarians on edge, and they set up a situation that can be exploited by politicians who promise the kind of harsh policies that they say will restore order, restore rules, and put a halt to this kind of change. So if you think about something like the border wall, what that really is a giant metaphor for control. It's a promise that we are going to physically put a barrier there that will put it under control.
As a journalist, is there an issue for you? And are you saying this, that you believe that the Trump era is an era of authoritarianism in the United States?
I think that's going too far. In this country, we still have a real kind of battle of ideas and parties and perspectives. And the fact that Trump was elected doesn't mean that that has gone away, but it has really empowered one strand of that debate that has a lower priority on things like protecting the norms of democratic governance, a lower priority on protecting norms of equality and individual rights, a much higher priority on things like government control, really harsh attitudes towards those seen as enemies. And I think that that has real implications for the actions of the government and the priorities of the government.
Do you believe that the Donald Trump administration is, in fact, in a strategy of kind of creating chaos on purpose, because this serves perfectly well for the desire then to say, and now we need some order?
I think it is not clear how much the Trump administration is aware of what the consequences of the changes they're proposing would be, some of the shifts they're making in relationships with our allies, for instance. So I think it would be far too speculative to say they're, you know, trying to sow chaos or anything like that. I think it's equally plausible to look at this and say they think that this is the way to impose order. They think this is the way to exclusively prioritize U.S. interests. One of the professors who I talked to calls political norms the guardrails of democracy. And what he said was, what we really should be thinking about is, are the guardrails there, are the norms there that say the president shouldn't use every last inch of the power that he has under the Constitution because that would be bad for freedom and individual rights, or are those guardrails starting to break down?
Amanda, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you.
Amanda Taub is a writer for the New York Times in the section called The Interpreter, where she analyzes the backstory of major world events.